Good morning. Everybody doing good?
Yes.
Hadn't washed away yet?
No.
You know, when you pray for 40 inches of rain, you better get ready. Huh? Anybody started building an ark yet? We need more. We still need more. So don't let up. Keep praying that the Lord would send us more. I want to welcome you to Wiley Methodist Church this morning. If you are visiting with us this Memorial Day Sunday, glad that you are here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a blue card in the seat in front of you where you can register your attendance with us. There's a box on there you can check if you'd like to be added to our email list. We'd love to know that you were here and hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Jesus is, we're going to pick it up in verse 33, John 18, 33. Jesus is on trial. He will soon go to the cross, and he's standing before Pilate and has this conversation. This is one of the last conversations Jesus had before his death. Verse 33, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people, your chief priest, who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as we have just sang, flood this place, flood our hearts. Speak in power and authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a boy, when the little boy was born, they named him Odd. O-D-D. They named him Odd. Now, he grew up, and can you imagine having that name as you're growing up? And just the ridicule, and when little Odd went to class as an elementary. Just can you imagine the children making fun of him? And then even as he graduated from school and became a young person, you know, and went into the workforce, and people say, "Hey, he's odd. He's odd." Can you just imagine the teasing that little Odd had? And then as he grew older, that name became more and more of a burden to him, and he became to dread that name, Odd. So as he's nearing his death, he tells his loved ones, he said, "I want, when I die, I want a plain marker at the cemetery where I'm buried. I don't want anything on the marker. I just want to mark it and don't put anything on there." And so as people were coming to the cemetery and walking around, they'd come to that stone. Isn't that odd? That story has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon today. But I really wanted to tell it. Yeah, that's odd. That's odd. We are continuing the sermon series, Living a Resurrected Life, today. With that story, we are finishing up the sermon series. Today's sermon is kingdom-focused living. Kingdom-focused living. So, if you got my, how many of you got read my email this week? I should say, if you didn't read my email, then I want you to stand, you know, and face the corner or something. Do something. Did you read the question in my email? Have you been pondering the question? Here's the question, if you didn't get the email. Here's the question. I'm going to give you three choices. I gave you two in the email, but I'm going to add a third. Are we a maintenance church? Maintenance being that we take care of one another. Okay, we take care of our needs. Are we a maintenance church? Are we a seeker church? Are we about those that have yet to come into the kingdom of God, who have yet to come into our church? Are we seeking the lost, those who don't have Christ? Or are we both? Okay, so those are your three choices. Now we're going to take, this is a very scientific survey. We're going to take a survey. You have to choose one of those three. We're a maintenance church, we're a seeker church, or we're both. Everybody who thinks we're a maintenance church, raise your hand. I'm making this easy on you, aren't I? Everybody who thinks they're a seeker church, raise your hand. How many of you that think we're both, raise your hand. Wow. I made it way too easy, didn't I? Okay, so here's another question. If we are both, if we are a maintenance church and we take care of ourselves, and we're also a seeker church, we're looking for those who need Jesus, who need healing, who need the body of Christ. If we're both, who gets served first? Somebody go, Who gets served first? In other words, where is our focus? Is our focus ourselves, or is it the kingdom? That is at the very heart of who we are. If we've never asked that question, if we're a kingdom and we're a seeker church, then who gets served first? You know, everything that Christ taught us was that we are to deny ourselves and be servants. And yet we find ourselves in the church, in the universal church, we find ourselves so many times, it's all about us, isn't it? If we're really honest, we're thinking about what we like, what we don't like, what frustrates us, what blesses us. I mean, there's a self-centeredness that comes so easily and instinctively to us. This is appointment time in the Methodist Church. If you haven't been in Methodist Church very long, you may not know what that is, but it's where they look at matching churches and pastors together and moving pastors it's time for a move for whatever reason. And you can boo if you want. I'm going to be here another year, looks like. So I'm blessed. I don't know what that does for you, but I'm blessed, and my family's blessed to be here. But as they're looking to match up those pastors and churches throughout our conference, some, I don't know, 250-plus churches, they ask the churches and the pastors to kind of evaluate, you know, their heart and their vision for the kingdom and so on and so forth. My district superintendent, which is over about 55 or so churches in the Abilene district, several years ago, the district superintendent told me that it was a lady district superintendent at the time, and she went into this little country church, and she walked in, and the first thing they said to her, they just met her, they said, "We like this little church." By the way, they had about a dozen people in this church, in a little small little town. And she walked in and they said, "We like our church just the way it is. Leave us alone." So, are they a maintenance church or a seeker church? That just blew my mind. And even this cycle that we're in right now, George, my district superintendent that was here last week, I visited some with George about different things. And there's churches that it's like, we don't want to grow. We don't want to grow. I've asked this question before, so I would ask us again. Look around the room. Is everybody in the sphere of influence of Wiley United Methodist Church? Is everybody in this room that needs Jesus? Is everybody in this room that has wounds that need to be healed, that we need to set before the great physician? Are they in this room? Are they even? Is it just us? I mean, are there people hurting out there in the kingdom? That's a kingdom heart. That's kingdom-focused living. I'm part of a group, and y'all have heard me talk about this, a group of other pastors and city leaders called One Kingdom. That's it's kind of funny that we came up with that name because that ties perfectly in with what we're talking about today. We've got Mark Hewitt from Love and Care Ministries. We've got our chief of police. We've got pastors from all these different sorts of denominations on the leadership team and so forth. And, you know, we never talk about our differences. We never talk about, well, we worship this way. Well, we do it this way. Well, we sing like this. We use instruments. We don't use instruments. We don't talk about any of that stuff. You know what we talk about? We talk about Jesus and his kingdom. It's kingdom stuff. And if New Hope Church is blessed and grows, then we are blessed and we grow through it because we're one church. You see, we are one kingdom. So we're going to talk a little bit about this kingdom-focused living. So I want to challenge you today to think about, where your heart is, you know, because even the prayer that we prayed just a few moments ago, the Lord's Prayer, and I mentioned this in my email, it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we're praising God. And then it moves immediately into kingdom. Thy kingdom come. It doesn't say, that line doesn't say, Wiley Methodist, come. It doesn't say, Jeff's desires, come. It says, thy kingdom come. So there's this heart of God that he's the prayer of his people should be that we're yearning for his kingdom to come out there, in here, and in here. So as we talk about this kingdom-focused living, I challenge you to see where you are in all of this. The first thing, kingdom-focused living requires embracing the significance of the kingdom. Guess what? There's a lot of great topics that Jesus talked about. He talked about love and salvation and all sorts of things. What's the number one topic that Jesus talked about? Anybody know? The kingdom. Sometimes it would be referred to as kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. He was talking about God's kingdom. So the number one thing throughout Scripture that Jesus talked about, kingdom. Guess what? Side note, guess what number two was? Anybody know? It wasn't hell. Moolah, dinero. Uh-oh. That's another week. You can come back for another week for that. But the number one thing Jesus talked about, above love, above salvation, above heaven and hell, and all of these other important topics, was the kingdom. The kingdom is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. 156 times it's referred to in the New Testament. Jesus himself refers to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven 84 times in the four Gospels. 84 times he talks about it. I just listed a few of them here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's in Matthew. Jesus said he was sent to preach good news of the kingdom. He instructed his disciples, which is you and I, by the way, to preach about the kingdom. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. He teaches us to seek first his kingdom before we look for anything else in our lives. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You do that, and all these other things will take care of themselves. He spoke of it repeatedly through his parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he's using all of these different analogies in his parables to talk about the kingdom. His Sermon on the Mount, he mentions the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to this. I love this. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, he's gone to the cross, he's gone to the tomb, and he's resurrected. He spends 40 days in bodily resurrected form after the Easter Sunday morning. In Acts chapter 1 says this. After his suffering, speaking of Jesus, he showed himself to these men. Now, there's other places in Scripture where it talks about over 500 people saw Jesus resurrected. They saw this lifeless body taken off the cross. 3 days later, he's walking around, he's fixing breakfast for the disciples, and he's teaching, and over 500 people saw him. He showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom. So here we got, do you think the kingdom's important? Jesus, he's gone to the cross, he's gone to the tomb, he's resurrected, he's got 40 days to talk about anything he wants to talk about. The first thing is he wants to make sure they know, I'm Jesus, I was dead, I'm alive now. Check it out. See the holes right here? See the holes? See the side? See my side? See my feet? So he's convincing them, he's showing them who he was, who he is, and what he's done. And yet, the thing that he's talking about for 40 days is the kingdom of God. So we must understand, church, if we're going to be his people, we must understand the importance of the kingdom. My job, your job as believers in Christ, is not to make Wiley Methodist successful. Even though I pray that we will be a blessing to our city and a blessing to one another. That's not the call upon our lives. The call upon our lives is to embrace and to build the kingdom. Second thing, kingdom-focused living requires surrendering to the king. You know, that's the thing about kingdoms. There's three things that every kingdom has. A kingdom has a realm that's somewhere that it's over, you know, like the Queen of England. She's over, you know, England and so on and so forth, which I still don't, some of y'all from British folks can explain that to me later. But anyway, there's a realm and there's subjects, people that reign over, and then there's a king. I've said this a few years ago. I actually remember my daughter remembered this, and I think put it on her refrigerator or something, which blessed me that my daughter listened to something I said. That's never happened before. Before we can advance the kingdom, we must be passionate about the king. Hello. Anybody passionate about the king in this room? And I tell you, the reason I'm passionate about the king is because of what he's done for me. Who he is and what he's done for me. God, who am I that he's even mindful of me? That he wouldn't just flick me aside. But yet, he loves me enough, and he loves you enough, that he came to earth, he humbled himself, became our servant, and went to a cross for us. And if you can't be passionate about that king, then you just really don't get it. You really have never embraced that. Before we can advance the kingdom, if we want to go and tell somebody about the kingdom of God, we must be passionate about the king. We must understand what we are inviting them to be a part of. This whole kingdom thing. Jesus himself said in this text we read today in John 18, you are right in saying I am a king. He himself said that he was a king. Now, I love this passage in John 3. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders. He had spent his whole life, you know, he had a position of power and authority and respect in the Jewish community. And look, Jesus wasn't received too well by that crowd. I don't know if you knew that, but it was not a real great thing. I love this in John chapter 3. Nicodemus seeks Jesus out when? At night. That's odd. It's when it's totally dark, it's like he sneaks up to Jesus. Nobody can see it. So there's no way that anybody can judge him or that he might lose his lofty standing. So he sneaks over to Jesus in the dark and he's getting ready to ask him all these questions. Before he even asks a question, here's what Jesus says to him. Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God. There it is again, kingdom. Nicodemus didn't ask about it. He didn't even ask a question. He just showed up and he goes, it's obvious that you're sent from God because you've done all these great miracles. He's right there and Jesus goes, okay, let me answer this question. Nicodemus hadn't even asked a question. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. What's that all about? This born again thing. How can a man, Nicodemus, he's kind of dense, he doesn't get it. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. So he's speaking of this physical birth. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So many people think that that's talking about baptism. It's not talking about baptism. There's other scriptures that talk significantly about baptism. Here he's talking about a physical birth when we are birthed into this world through our mother's womb. And this spiritual birth where something spiritual is taking place, not something physical. Now listen to what he says about the kingdom. The first thing he says, Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom. You can't even recognize the kingdom unless you've had a spiritual birth. And then he says, you can't enter the kingdom unless you have this spiritual birth. So we can't see it and recognize it, and we can't enter it unless we have this spiritual birth through Christ. And that is when we come and we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Something spiritual is going on. It's not just this prayer, this rote prayer that we recite. It doesn't matter how many times you go under the water. It's not about saying just the right thing. It's not about coming down the aisle at the, you know, to the 19th verse of Just As I Am or any of those kinds of things. It's not about any of those physical things that we do. It's about this spiritual birth that happens when we place our faith in Christ and we decide to follow him. Jesus says you can't see the kingdom and you can't enter the kingdom unless that happens. Has that happened for all of us, church? Pray that it has. Now listen to what else, listen to what Jesus says to Simon Peter in Matthew 16. And he's having that conversation with the disciples, and he's saying, who do the crowds say that I am? And they're saying, you're Elijah, and you're John the Baptist reincarnated, and you're this and you're that. And then he personalizes it and says, who do you say that I am? And here was Peter's response. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now listen to this. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So this idea that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of the living God, he is God, that is the keys, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom-focused living requires surrendering to the king. Third thing, kingdom-focused living requires sharing that good news. Sharing the good news. You know, Jesus is the good news. Jesus is also, he's the earthly manifestation of the fullness and completeness of the kingdom of God. Jesus. I want to say that word with me. Jesus. Say that name, Jesus. I think I'm going to write a song. There's something about that name. I just Holy Spirit inspired me to write a song with that title. Maybe not. Maybe it's already happened. Say that name with me again, Jesus. Are you passionate about the King? Church, we have, and I've kind of said it like this before, but if any one of us had the cure for cancer in our pocket, is in a little vial, and we just kept it in our pocket, how loving would that be? And we didn't share it with the world. There's a lot of people struggling with cancer. It's taking a lot of people out, a lot of families. We've got several in our church who struggle with that nasty disease. And we've got the cure in our pocket, and we don't share it. Is that good news? We have something far greater than the cure for cancer. We have the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as you go, as he sends us out, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. And what's kind of ironic is as he's telling them that, the kingdom of heaven is near, He could have gone, here I am. Here I am. It's a lot more near than you think. I'm the one talking to you right now. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Share the good news. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said again, go into all the world and preach the good news. I'm the good news, he says. I'm the good news. I'm the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom. We have to understand and embrace the significance of the kingdom. Jesus' number one topic that he talked about was the kingdom. We have to embrace that. We have to understand that. We have to surrender to the king, and then we have to share it. For God's kingdom to advance on earth, his will must be done in our church. And for God's will to be done in our church, it must be done in our hearts. Has God's will been done in your heart? I want to leave you with that thought again. Before we can advance the kingdom, we must be passionate about the king. And I'm going to tag on. Are you ready? Because he's passionate about you. Shake my head, your head if you hear me. We must be passionate about him because he's passionate about us. When you understand that, it changes everything. Are you passionate about the king this morning, church? Amen. Would you just bow your heads with me? Father, we pray it every Sunday, but I think we probably don't give it the thought that we should. But we pray, thy kingdom come. And not out there, not just for everybody else, thy kingdom come, but in us, in our hearts, in this place. May Wiley United Methodist Church be a kingdom church. Because, Father, when you bless your kingdom, you bless Wiley Methodist Church and you bless us. Thank you, God, that you are mindful of us, that you are passionate about us. Teach us how to be kingdom people. We love you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Our praise team would come up this morning as we close. If you have not given your heart, if you know, spirit gives birth to spirit, flesh gives birth to flesh. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And you can't see the kingdom, you can't enter the kingdom unless you know the king. If you have not ever been introduced to the king, you may have been in church your whole life. Is it? I'm not asking you if you've been in church. Do you know the king? So if you don't know the king this morning, I invite you to come as we sing, or you can come and seek me out after church as we close today. So let's stand as we close.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. This is the end.
Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Go and tell someone. Share the King with someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
And I